This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Poo City, PA, home of Matt Canada and Phil Jurkovic. That's a clip from Kyle Gary, that Andrew Filippone also tweeted last night, of the crowd yelling, "Fire Canada." I was at the game, and honestly, that was probably the loudest chant, cheer out of anything I heard the entire night. Other than the TJ Watt scoop and score for a touchdown on the strip sack from Alex Highsmith. Yeah, it was very noticeable. It was audibly loud. It was so loud people could hear it on the TV screen. It was not during a commercial break. People could hear it and people could tell exactly what they were saying. You know why? People don't feel the need to defend people like Matt Canada, Phil Jurkovic at this point. And this is not a roasting session or a rep Phil Jurkovic segment. More so Matt Canada. It's accountability. It's looking yourself in the damn mirror and understanding that there's a problem. There's an issue here. The Steelers at halftime, I had to look four or five times when I saw this on the board, on the scoreboard. Okay, you ready for this? Strap yourself in. The Steelers at halftime had 1 yard rushing. One yard rushing. Now, things did materialize to be better in the second half. I would hope they couldn't get any worse. The Steelers had 1 yard rushing. Overall, the Steelers rushed for 55 yards. The Steelers' defense, which was good and won the team the game, gave up 198 rushing yards. Now, the Browns had 210 passing yards, but the Steelers altogether in this game were utterly dominated in all the key stats. Rushing yards, 198 to 55. Total yards, 408 to 255. But the defense was what made it count. Six sacks, an interception, forcing four fumbles. The Browns won the possession battle by over 10 minutes. 35 minutes of possession time. Felt like the Steeler defense was on the field for most of the game. The offense kept going three and out. It was kind of disastrous. But you know what really just eked at me during the game, as I sat there and thought to myself, oh, they're coming out the punt again. The amount of times that the Steelers punted at their own 40 or 41 to 45-yard line, there was a ball at the 41-yard line the Steelers ended up punting. There was one at the 48. There was another one, though. The amount of times, I think it was at least three times, maybe four, that the Steelers punted inside their own territory. A couple touchbacks from Harvin. Yes, once he did pin him back at the 9. One, he pinned the Browns at the 1 yard line. That ended up paying off for the Steelers. And Renegade worked. I was thinking to myself, I might come on here and say, And I like the song a lot. I like when they bring it up, but does Renegade still have the same effect? Yeah, well, Renegade, the Steelers did on third and forever to the Browns, give up a passing play down the sideline that they really shouldn't have, where everybody got lost in coverage. But a couple plays later, Alex Highsmith, strip sack, forced fumble, TJ Watt go score. Renegade paid off. Renegade worked. But the offense, man, and there was nothing worse when seeing on third down and one, Isaac Seumalo, well, actually two plays are coming to mind all at once, but one play, Isaac Seumalo on third down for the Steelers gave Kenny Pickett maybe a half a second to be able to react. It was like a freight train coasting right at you on the tracks and you never saw it coming. And Seumalo blocked nobody. He shifted over to his right when he should have shifted to the left. There was a guy right in front of him at the line of scrimmage before the snap that he just clearly and flat out did not block. Mason Cole said the third down play. Now, the second play that I wanted to get to, where Kenny Pickett kept the ball on third and one, trying to catch everybody off guard. It was a read option that Pickett kept, and Cleveland brought the pressure from that side. He said that the offensive issues were not due to play calls, it's from our own Josh Rountree, but execution. Now, to be fair to Matt Canada, there were some throws that Kenny Pickett did not make. He bounced a couple, a slant route to George Pickens that he just threw too far. He had a ball behind George Pickens on third down that really was a play. I mean, Pickett, you gotta make. Everything that we saw in the preseason from Kenny Pickett, where balls were right there on the money, accuracy was at a premium. Things that we saw from him in his final year at Pitt. Things we saw from him in the back half of last season, where he was putting the balls on the receivers. Give the ball to George Pickens and let him make plays. And that's what they did on the slant route that ended up going for a touchdown. Pickens just completely and utterly ran past the safety like he was a statue standing in slow motion. Or in no motion whatsoever. And George Pickens looked like a 4-2-4 receiver out there running a 40-yard dash better than anybody. So George Pickens was probably one of the only winners on the Steelers' offense of the night. The offensive line wasn't very good. Boo City was in out there in full display. And many people on Twitter went out and said, if you're out there booing and chanting Fire Canada right now, it's pretty pathetic. You need to look yourself in the mirror. It's pretty pathetic. Why? The talk around boos and complaining, it's a part of the game. It's a part of being a fan. If you don't like it, play better. You're getting paid how much money to go out there and perform on the field? And you think that boos are a bad thing? I'm completely fine with booing. I would have booed, too. I didn't necessarily boo because it's just not really my thing necessarily to boo. Now, if I think it is, oh, yeah, I'll boo. Yeah. The Fire Canada things, kind of warranted, don't you think? That they can boo, they can cheer, they can chant. Now, I don't like it on a personal level because, yes, Matt Canada, he's a human being. It's tough. It's the same thing with Phil Jurkovec. On a personal level, it sucks. You know, nobody wants to get booed. Is it truly right from a human being standpoint? No, but the reality that we're living in is high-level competitive sports, the ACC, backyard brawl, Steelers-Browns, Monday Night Football, one of the biggest rivalries in all of sports, two cities that absolutely can't stand each other. So, yeah, I mean, I don't care about the booing. Handle it. If you can't take it, go play better. Man, I had no problem with the boos. Fire Canada. Call better plays. A lot of it is on Kenny Pickett, and he should take responsibility for it. Through two games, he's not played well. Now, he did play better last night than he did against San Francisco. It's kind of hard to play worse. Did Pickett hear the boos? Did Pickett hear the Fire Canada chants?
No, no. You know, we were locked in on winning the game. I was going over 2 minute, 4 minute scenarios with the guys, you know, find a way to win, whatever we needed to do there at the end. But, you know, hats off to our defense, played unbelievable. You know, we got the best player in the world, in my opinion, in 90, and 56 is close behind. You know, he's unbelievable. So those guys did a hell.
Yeah, I don't know if I believe that. They had to hear it. Everybody in the stadium could hear it. The press box could hear it. Everybody on TV could hear it. You got to be naive to think that Kenny Pickett did not hear the Fire Canada chants. I'm sure Matt Canada heard them. And as he was trying to communicate to people, and if not, somebody definitely let him know. Somebody on that sideline heard it and probably related to Kenny Pickett. I'd be surprised if that wasn't the case. Because, I mean, let's be honest and realistic here. Kenny Pickett in the offense, they might talk about execution. They might say all the right things in the media. But deep down, and in their own communications, I mean, they got to talk about it, right? About the play calls and how they're saying it's all on them. Why do I really think that so much is on Matt Canada? Jets sweeps in positions where they shouldn't be. And the fact that, most especially, one rushing yard at half, not being able to establish the run, not being able to pick a back to stick with, whoever has the hot hand. Jaylen Warren was the better back last night. It makes me feel horrendous because I remember sitting at the fantasy draft table with Crowley saying, hey, do you really want to pick Najee Harris for our fantasy team? They're going to do a split backfield. Jaylen Warren is the better back right now. Najee Harris had some big runs. I liked when he changed directions and went from the far side of the field to the near side and ended up breaking a big run. He had a 20-yard run right before that. The Steelers defense picked this team up. If it wasn't for the Steelers defense, they would have lost. They scored more points. They forced more points. 14, 12, I guess, if you don't count the extra points. But they scored more than the offense. Yeah, the Steelers offense hurt it, but the real factor also is Pat Freiermuth. Put out the wanted posters, the missing person reports. Is he in witness protection program? Pat Freiermuth has 2 catches for 5 yards on 5 total targets. And that's another reason why people are pointing the finger at Matt Canada. As a play caller, you draw up plays for your best players. They did it for George Pickens. Kenny Pickett talked about it.
Yeah, it was tough. You know, they did a good job. You know, that pick early in the game, it was funnel, and 22 passed off Pat and jumped inside on him. So there was a lot of times he was getting doubled. And it was tough to get him the football. But whenever we had that opportunity of one-on-one, I really wanted to get him the ball and let him do his thing. So that's something we got to continue to take advantage of, getting him singled up, moving him around, being creative, and finding ways to get him the football.
And that's what they did with George Pickens, who I think by the end of the season, and a lot of this is dependent on how Kenny Pickett develops, that George Pickens could be a top 5 wide receiver, probably number 5, in the NFL. 4 catches, 127 yards, and a touchdown, where he used blazing speed. I don't know if anybody really knew he had that quick a speed in open space with 2 defenders in front of him. Calvin Austin, I think, was out there trying to block for him. Yeah, he didn't even need the block. George Pickens just ran by everybody. Kenny Pickett was 15 of 30, completed half of his throws, 222 yards, a touchdown, an interception. He was sacked twice. Did have that long of 71 yards to George Pickens. But Pat Freiermuth is a ghost, man. He had 1 catch for 2 yards. Matt Canada, you have to draw up some plays to get your tight end the ball. He's somebody that has broken records for the Steelers in terms of overall tight end productivity. And he has 5 receiving yards through 2 games. You got to get Pat Freiermuth the ball. That's part of how this offense also needs to continue to thrive. Kenny Pickett, make the easy throws. They're not taking any deep shots still. They're using the sideline a lot. Not as much as we saw last year. They're getting the middle of the field involved a little bit more on slants. But they throw so many slants. Pickett missed on a couple of them. He was not good early in the game. He got better, but it wasn't fluid. It was still miserable for the Steelers' offense, and it wasn't for the defense, it would have been another loss. Going to Vegas, it's going to be another interesting type of game for the Steelers. The one that they really should win before going and playing Houston, which if they don't win, it'll amount to a dumpster fire of sports talk radio the next day. The Wake Up Show is presented by 84 Lumber. Put your positive attitude to work at 84 Lumber. Apply at 84lumber.com. Coming up next, I want to play this Ryan Clark clip during the post-game show with Scott Van Pelt last night. Oh, man, you got to hear it. Coming up, Sports Radio 97 The Fan. Final minute during the Steelers' absolute defensive display with T.J. Watt, Alex Highsmith. Here's what the great Ryan Clark had to say about it on ESPN.
Personal, and I'm gonna run over like Kenny Smith because I'm gonna do this for the whole time. Now, here's what we want to see. This was such a great matchup of defensive personnel. They're gonna come out and they're in 13 personnel, which is one back and three tight ends. So you see the three tight ends here. Actually, that guy's a tight end. And so that's gonna put Minka Fitzpatrick on the outside here as the corner because they are matching personnel. Now, the Cleveland Browns are totally messed up. What they're gonna run is we're gonna have a press out here, which means we should have gotten a clear out. By not getting the clear out, it's going to draw Minka Fitzpatrick into the play. Now watch, as Deshaun Watson throws the ball to Brian Harrison, he's going to expect him to stop, or at least Brian Harrison thinks he should. The ball tips off his hand. Alex Highsmith, one of the richest men that plays for the Pittsburgh Steelers right now, and a part of that great outside linebacker fraternity, makes a huge play.
And, you know, Ryan Clark is just such a great football mind, former Pittsburgh Steelers safety, and seeing him at the Taylor Strader, you got to see the video if you haven't. I mean, it's just truly fantastic. The pre-show is next, coming up. Sports Radio 97 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.